Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned in to KTUO News in Juneau here on Wednesday, the 16th of November, the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll find out about the Juneau Lyric Opera's presentation of La Boheme opening this weekend at McTheaters Hall. We'll talk with filmmaker Todd Jones and others about the Extreme film, One for the Road, showing this Friday at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. We'll skip the details about Saturday's Trail Mix dinner and auction. And Rena Sims will be here with an update on the St. Vincent de Paul Thanksgiving basket efforts. That right is Almanac Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. For the forecast for tonight, there's a strong wind from this evening expected through Thursday morning. Forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies and windy weather with a chance of rain in the evening, then a chance of snow later on with low temperatures 21 to 27 degrees above zero.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts is visiting South Dakota this week. He's spending some time on one of the state's reservations. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt has more.
Rocco Landisman is spending the afternoon at Red Cloud Indian School on South Dakota's Pine Ridge Reservation. Landisman is touring the school's Heritage Center, which buys and sells artwork from 150 Lakota artists. Peter Strong, director of the Heritage Center, says he's excited for Landisman to see what Native artists are working on. The Heritage Center just received a $110,000 grant from Art Place, an organization made of several agencies, including the NEA. As part of his visit to learn about community art and help artists in the state, Landisman will be part of a discussion on arts in the Black Hills in Rapid City Thursday. That panel plans to focus on how art can foster stronger local communities. The NEA is an independent federal agency supporting artistic efforts through grants and promotion. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbold.
Staff from U.S. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski's office are visiting storm-damaged villages. Last week, a powerful storm hit the western part of Alaska. It impacted many Alaska Native communities. The storm caused electricity and communication outages. Many people left their homes for higher ground. It also caused erosion and other damages. Murkowski's office will visit 5 villages this week to assess damage. Former U.S. Senator Byron Dorgan is moderating a discussion on issues facing Native youth. He's the founder and chairman of the Aspen Institute Center for Native American Youth. The panel includes tribal and federal officials and will focus on the history of Indian country and issues facing Native people today. Panelists include Kim Teehee, Senior Policy Advisor for Native American Affairs from the White House Domestic Policy Council, and Dirk Whitebreast, Tribal Secretary of the Sac and Fox Tribe of the Mississippi and Iowa. Indian advocates and people from tribal organizations and federal agencies are expected to attend. Today's event is taking place in Washington, D.C., and will be posted later on the Center for Native American Youth's website at cnay.org. This year's Christmas tree headed to the U.S. Capitol has ties to Indian country. The U.S. Forest Service and California's Tuolumne Band of Miwok Indians organized the tree's tour. The collaboration by the tribe and federal agency is an effort to build relationships. Maria Benich is the U.S. Capitol Christmas Tree Coordinator with the Stanislaus National Forest.
We have a great relationship with our local tribe, and the work that we do on the forest, we're very focused on ecological restoration and caring for the land, which, of course, is what the Native Americans are, you know, it's the way they live, it's their lives. So it was just a great way for us to emphasize that and just build on that partnership that we have.
The 62-foot-tall Sierra White fir was blessed by Tuolumne tribal elders before it was cut. The tree is making its way to Gallup, New Mexico today, where a safe travel blessing ceremony will be done by a Navajo medicine man. There will also be a food donation event. The tree will be making a stop next week at the Eastern Band of Cherokee in North Carolina before heading to Washington, D.C. for a ceremony at the National Museum of the American Indian. With more than 10,000 lights and 2,500 ornaments, the U.S. Capitol Christmas tree lighting ceremony will take place at the Capitol Mall on December 6th. On this day in 1990, the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act was signed into law. NAGPRA provides a process for museums and federal agencies to return certain Native American sacred items, human remains, and cultural and funerary objects to tribes. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation.
with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
If you are a Native American who was denied a farm loan or loan servicing from the USDA, you could get money from a class action settlement. Learn about filing the claim at IndianFarmClass.com or at 1-888-233-5506.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTLO News in Juneau, where we have three actors from the Juneau Lyric Opera production of La Boheme here in the studio. It opens Friday. Wade Rogers, Emily Smith, and Ann Weske, thank you for coming down the station today.
Thank you, Jeff, for having us.
So this is a reprise of an opera from Juneau Lyric Opera's past. In what ways is it different?
It's different in the sense that we have most of the cast is new to this particular production. And two of us who were actually on stage were in this back in 2000, myself and Brett Crawford, both of us playing different roles this time around. Dan Wayne, who was Rodolfo in the 2000 production, is our director now. It's not much different other than the way that it's staged. The staging is a little bit different, but we're doing it in the traditional fashion that we did back in 2000, in Italian, with superscripts and that sort of thing. So it's very traditionally done.
Where was it performed in 2000?
When?
Where was it performed?
At the Juneau Douglas Little Theater downtown, across from where the Elks Lodge used to be. And as a matter of fact, as I recall, talking to somebody who was involved with that company for quite a while. I think ours was, La Boheme was one of the last shows done there.
It's the same size place I'm...
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much. McFeeters and that Juneau Douglas Little Theater downtown, about the same size. And, you know, La Boheme really does lend itself to sort of a small, very intimate, close encounter as far as theater goes, and you'll definitely get that in this production.
I'm going to ask the actors involved here to give us an idea of the plot and where their characters fit in. Anne, you want to start it off?
Sure. My character is Mimi, and in the production, I'm basically introduced because my candle burns out. So I go to a neighbor's home, and he assists me with lighting my candle, but in the process, I end up losing a key. And all of that ends up rolling into a love interest with that neighbor of mine. So... unfortunately, throughout the production, my health is not well. I have tuberculosis, so I end up getting more and more ill as the show goes on, and I'm fighting between, losing my health and wanting to be with the person that I love. And at times, it doesn't work out between the two of us, but at the end, of course, we end up back together.
Emily, what do you play?
I'm Musetta. I'm the old love interest of Rodolfo's friend Marcello, and I'm very flirty and stuff, and I initially left him to find a richer boyfriend, but then I come back in Act 2, and we fall in love again, and we're happy until the next act when we break up, and, in the end, Musetta kind of has a change of heart, and she just focuses on taking care of poor Mimi, who's sick.
With your character?
I play the role of Chouinard. In the previous production, I was Colline, but in this role, I'm taking on a different role. Chouinard is, I like to think of Chouinard as the moneymaker, because as a professional musician, he brings to the Bohemians money, which is something that they don't normally have. And at the beginning of the show, he comes in having given an Englishman some music lessons. He goes out and he buys some Bordeaux, some Sigiri, and Lenya, the firewood, because they're thinking about burning their furniture. It's so cold in Paris at this time of the year, and so he's sort of Mr. Moneybags. He also was going to buy dinner at the Café Momus, ends up losing his wallet, and Musetta jumps in and pays the bill.
Saves
the day for us.
Bye. Putting the bill on my rich boyfriend.
Yeah, and you know it's a touching production because everybody is friends already with the exception of Mimi. She is new to the group, and so there's a real camaraderie, and I think during this production we've all become friends, which has been kind of nice.
And most of you have experience playing in the Juno Douglas High School auditorium in Nelson McPeters Hall, which is 150 seats or something, or 70 seats.
Yeah, we can. I think they can get about that many in there. We are scaling it back a little bit because of the scope of the production. We need a little bit of the audience area. There's some sort of audience participation, so we're looking at about 90 seats.
Do you have to scale your performances back?
Compared to a large stage, yes. McPeters is a bit smaller, but that makes it really interesting because instead of having to work on a large scale, where a good director will get the actors to use up all of the spaces within a large theater setting, we're in a smaller setting, so we have to be very aware of where we are and where things are as well.
How many people are in your orchestra?
We have 3 people in our orchestra.
Orchestra light.
Yes, orchestra light.
Yeah.
We have Tsukazama on piano. Todd Hunt plays the bassoon and the clarinet. And Sandy Fortier.
Yeah.
She's playing the flute.
Who are the other actors involved in the production?
There's Odin Broody. He plays Algindoro and Benoit, thank you. And Brett Crawford, of course, is Marcello. And Derek Grimes is Rodolfo. And Ryan Curley is Colline. Those are the main people, including us. And then Therese Thibodeau and Guy Warren are also in the show.
And Odin.
Why are you excited about presenting the play, the opera?
I feel like it's a really passionate opera. I think that a lot of people will be able to just relate to the realness of the show. I think a really neat thing about it is that because of the venue that we're in, we don't have to overact anything. It's very real, and Dan Wayne made sure that we were learning our part and not overacting our part. We were really feeling how we felt. And the audience in the front row will literally be about 5 feet away from the stage. And so it's just really neat to be able to experience that kind of intimacy with an audience. But the other thing that I'm excited about is, well, I guess I have to say everyone except for me is, there are points where it is hilarious, and we are just laughing. Yeah. If I sit in the audience, I'm almost in tears laughing because these guys do some really funny comedic parts, which I don't know if people normally think of La Boheme as a comedy. It's definitely not overall, but there's some great comedy, and these guys do an amazing job with that.
Yeah, I think what's exciting for me, and I appreciate the kudos from Anne on that, is the height and the breadth of the emotions that you go through, and that's, I think, what makes it so accessible to so many people is the width of the drama that you'll see. It's very relatable because we all go through this. We break up, we make up, or we meet new people, or we have friends who pass away. I just recently had one pass away a few days ago. So that's kind of, it hits a little home for me there. But it's a real human story, and the comedy, La Commedia is stupenda. It's some hilarity. We're still cracking up Dan Wayne every night. We do some new stuff with the same lines. We do new things, and it just brings out the humor in it all. So, and I like to think too that if you don't laugh and if you don't cry in this opera, you don't laugh or cry.
Emily, what excites you about the presentation?
I'm really excited. My role is really fun, I have to admit. Like, being Nuzetta, she's just over the top about everything, and that's different from what I am normally. So it's fun. And, of course, the music is beautiful. And and it's really cool being, I mean, we keep talking about the intimate setting, but it's kind of neat because, like, I'm used to La Boheme being this big, huge opera that everybody sings and it's all loud and magnificent. But, it's cool to hear the softer, closer parts or something, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you won't have any difficulty hearing, as we do in some venues in town. It can be a little challenging, but this, because of the closeness of the audience, you'll hear us loud and clear.
Oh, yeah.
Especially Emily.
Especially. I have some high notes. Sorry.
Yeah, if you like high Cs, there's what's your highest note?
She has a C, I have a B.
Yeah.
Been talking to Wade Rogers, Emily Smith, and Ann Wesky about the Juno Lyric Opera's production of La Boheme. Opens up this Friday, and what else are the showtimes?
Showtimes are 7:30 this Friday and Saturday. We also have two shows. We have six shows total, so the 18th and the 19th. Another set of shows the 25th and the 26th. Then we're doing sort of an odd schedule, the 1st and 2nd of December, Thursday and Friday, all showtime 7:30.
And if you need more information on that, you can look on the Juno Lyric Opera's website.
That's right, or go to the normal ticket outlets.
All right, anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I just want to say real quick that it's been delightful to work with some new blood. they've sort of re-enthused the old guy, and they are just doing outstanding work, and their professional etiquette has just been top-notch.
Yay. Thank you.
And thank you for coming by the station today. Time is 3:20, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guest here to talk about a great film, a ski film, an extreme ski film, One for the Road, produced by the people at Teton Gravity Research. Got some people in the studio, Kevin Krein, Becky James, and also Johnny Brissett. And by the telephone we have from Colorado, we have Todd Jones. Todd, thank you for being on the air with us today.
Yeah, thank you. Excited to be here.
So first, tell me a little bit about your Teton Gravity Research, if you could, please.
We're an action sports film company. We do ski, snowboard, surf films, and have a big website, TetonGravity.com, that covers all things snow. We film a ton in Alaska. I used to commercial fish up there for 5 years, up in Bristol Bay and down in Southeast, and did some longlining and salmon fishing, and that's how we founded the company with commercial fishing money, and been filming up in Alaska for about 18 years. So really love it up there, and it's a big part of our films and what we do.
And Becky James, you're here from Alaska Powder Descents, who's sponsoring the film. You want to tell us about Alaska Powder Descents, please?
Sure. Yeah, Alaska Powder Descents is a heli-ski company based out of Juneau. And we are in our fourth season, and we operate out of the Adlersheim Lodge out the road by 33 Mile. Our operating season is typically from about February to April. And we're hosting this film on Friday, and it's going to be at the JAC, the Juneau Arts and Culture Center, at 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. We're very excited, especially because, a lot of the footage, or some of the footage, I should say, was filmed in the Juneau area as well. And it's going to be at 6 p.m. is a family-friendly showing, and then 9 p.m. is for over 21, because we're going to have beer and wine.
This is an HD film that chronicles life on the road with over 20 writers and over 10 locations in Japan, Iceland, Macedonia, Wyoming, British Columbia, Montenegro, France, and as Becky said, some Juneau footage. Todd, why did you pick Juneau to go to?
Well, last year was a horrible snow year in the state of Alaska, and we originally were planning on going up towards the Anchorage area to a new location we were going to explore, but with the horrible snow, we made a last minute plan change, and we kind of looked at who had the most snow and who was likely going to continue to get it. And Juneau, being Juneau, had tons of precip. And so we rolled into there and bellied up and pretty much showed up and got nailed with like a 10-day, two-week storm that was really welcome considering the winds and dry weather that Alaska had had. And then the skies parted and we were able to film and do a ton of stuff over the course of the remaining 3 to 4 weeks we're up there.
Johnny and Kevin, can you tell us why Juneau makes a good place to go skiing and heli-skiing?
Oh, sure. I mean, the terrain here is just phenomenal and really close, too. So it's especially when we're operating out of our lodge out the road, we can go across the water to the Chilcats or into the Juneau ice field. And with consistent snow and enough sunny days, it turns out to be just some amazing heli skiing.
Same thing for me. The ease in getting to the different terrain we have around here, and there's no shortage of helicopters in Juneau either, as we can tell in the summertime. So those things combined make it a really nice place.
I'm thinking that writing is tough enough, but combining it with videotapes at the taping at the same time must make it really a challenge. Todd, how do you do that?
Sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
How do you manage to go skiing and also shoot at the same time?
And also film. Well, it's what we've been doing for 18 years at TGR, and, we all started out as mountain guides. I used to guide up in Valdez, and we used to ski in the films as well. So our production team are all highly proficient mountain people, and we sort of figured out how to safely and effectively bring cameras out into the mountains and film the stuff that we do. And the helicopter is certainly a great tool to get you around, and also as a safety backup mechanism. So all those things combined, and then just some really amazing athletes, and it seems to come together pretty well every time.
Who are the athletes that you shot in Juneau?
Sage Catabriga, Losa, Ian McIntosh, Griffin Post, Todd Laguerre and Darren Rouse primarily.
And you know, you're probably going to say Juneau is your favorite place, but besides Juneau, what are some of your favorite places to go to?
I mean, Alaska in general is always the highlight of our film. I mean, it probably makes up 30%. I was on a trip to Iceland this year that was amazing, such an exotic, beautiful place. And, you know, through the years at TGR, we've been to Antarctica, Greenland, Norway, Japan, Russia. So we've been all over. I mean, I think, you know, part of what TGR is about is being on the road and exotic travel and checking out new places and exploring. So really, you know, the more kind of remote and out there, the better.
How unique is HD filming as far as ski films are concerned?
What? One more time, sorry?
How unique is HD in the world of heli-skiing and the ski movies?
How do I make it HD?
No, how unique is HD?
Oh, I'm sorry, how unique? I mean, we use, you know, the latest camera technologies, so we're using the DSLR stuff and using a lot of the RED digital cinema technology, so the stuff looks really good, and, you know, we were able to get a ton of good footage this year, so I think you'll see a lot of amazing camera systems and bells and whistles in the film.
I've been talking with Todd Jones from Teton Gravity Research and also Johnny Brissett and Kevin Klein and Becky Janes about the film One for the Road, which is going to be shown this Friday, November 18th. Two shows. Becky, you want to tell us about the shows?
Sure, yes. So there's the 6 p.m. again. It's a family-friendly showing. And then we have a 9 p.m., which is going to have a beer and wine guardian there, so it's for over 21 only. And we've got amazing giveaways for this event. We've got several local businesses who've donated from climbing passes to tons of hoodies, ski punch cards at Eagle Crest. We've got kayak rentals, gear, backpacks, dry bags, clothing from Kodiak Coat Companies, jackets from them, and fleeces, as well as just you know, prints, calendars. These are all going to be giveaways at the event when people show up. And as well as Alaska Powder Descents, our company, we're going to be giving away a pair of storm skis or a pair of fat skis that are very, very nice, and some shirts and stickers for that. So the tickets are $12 in advance and $14 at the door, and they can be pre-purchased from the Aurora Project downtown, Nugget Alaskan Outfitter, Sequence Board Shop, which is out in Mendenhall Mall, as well as the Rock Dump Climbing Gym. So, again, that's this coming Friday. Also, just wanted to touch base real quick, Jeff, that Johnny Brissett sitting next to me, he actually helped assist in the film with Teton Gravity Research. He's one of their safety guides out there. So that was his role. And then Kevin is one of our partners, one of the co-owners of Alaska Powder Descents with us. And he is a heli-ski guide for us as well.
All right. Thank you for coming down the station. And, Todd, thank you for being on the air with me today.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Todd.
Trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys an 8-12 four-bedroom. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train, destination Bangor, Maine. Whoa, worn out suit and shoes. I don't pay no union dues. I smoke old stogies I have found. Short, but not too big around. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. I know every engineer on every train, all their children, all of their names, and every handout in every town. Every lock, it ain't locked when no one's around. I sing trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents.
got no cigarettes. I've 2 hours of pushing room, eyes and 8 for 12, 4-bedroom. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. Trailers for sale or rent, rooms let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes.
Time is 3:30 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. This is National Geography Awareness Week. You can celebrate geography awareness tonight on Friends and Neighbors by going to their annual, by listening to their annual geography show. They'll play 2 hours of geography-related folk music, and as always, requests are welcome. Celebrate geography on Friends and Neighbors tonight at 7 and 9 on KRNN FM in Juneau. In the studio with us now to talk about the Trail Mix Auction and Dinner is the Executive Director of Trail Mix, Eric Boris. Eric, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So first of all, tell us about Trail Mix, if you could, please.
Trail Mix, we're the steward of Juneau's trails. We build and maintain trails in and around Juneau, and we exist because there's three major land management agencies that have trails: the Forest Service, the state, and the city. And it's a lot of trails cross over all three, property owned by all three. So it's easier for us to cross boundaries than it is for them.
How many trails do you think are in Juneau about?
The somewhat official number I've heard is about 120. There's a lot of little tiny beach accesses that are only a few hundred feet long. So if you count all those, we're up to 120.
And how about the top three trails?
Top three for use is the, from research that was done last year, it's the Airport Dyke Trail, the Brotherhood Bridge, the Cax Trail, and Perseverance.
Do you have any idea what kind of people use trails?
Everyone. Everyone who can walk or roll or be pushed in a stroller. Everyone probably uses a trail at some point or another.
What are some of your current projects?
We shut down when the snow came, but we were building a staircase at Montana Creek up by the archery range down as a fishing access. So we'll finish that up next year when the snow all melts. And we did a lot of work on the Mount Roberts Trail this year. Instead of kind of working on widening the tread and getting rid of some of the muddy parts, we flew up 20 yards of gravel to pack in and hopefully make it a more sustainable trail.
What's the process of fixing up an existing trail, and also what's the process of breaking new ground? Making a trail where no trail has gone before.
Where no trail has gone before. That involves a lot of walking around. You got to figure out where the boundaries are, the borders are, where you can go. And then we want to stay out of wetlands as much as possible. We want the problem with building trails in the rainforest is you got to get water off the trail as soon as possible, because that's what hurts our trails the most. And a lot of it's also the psychology of the trail. You want people to enjoy it. You want them to see new and interesting things. You don't want a point A to point B trail. You want to, if there's a nice little waterfall, try and swing it over by that. And then if there's a cool muskeg, maybe hit the corner of that so people can see it. And so it's a lot of exploring. I actually don't spend much time on trails myself. I spend a lot of time bushwhacking through the woods trying to figure out where a trail should go. And after that, it's we have to fit the construction technique to the terrain. So if it's a steep hillside, we'll cut into the hillside and make a nice bench. If it's through a muskeg, we'll build what we call a turnpike trail, which is a wooden framework filled with gravel that kind of floats on the surface. And what kind of trail we want to make. If we want to make a wide bike trail, we'll use equipment. If we want to make a little narrow running trail, then we'll do it all by hand.
You have a lot of volunteers. About how many volunteers work with Trail Mix?
Our membership is close to 500. So that's a lot of Juneau residents who support trails.
You're having an auction and dinner on the Saturday at Centennial Hall. It starts at 6:30.
We are. Actually, it starts at 6. 6 to 8:30 on the 19th. There's going to be an Italian buffet by Abby's Kitchen, and the Cajun bluegrass band Fedodo Juno is playing. There will also be a no-host bar by the Rendezvous.
What are some of the items on the auction block?
We have 10 yards of D1. That's gravel for anyone who's building a driveway. We've got a chainsaw. We have a couple different flight scene tours. We have dinner with the mayor. We have dinner with the our legislative our legislators and representatives, the state ones. What else do we have? We have all sorts of great stuff. A lot of art, a lot of different tools. a lot of different, you know, walks. Like there's an intertidal walk that you can do with a professor from UAS. So a lot of great stuff.
And it's all for to benefit the Peterson Lake Trail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's all going to go toward the Peterson Lake Trail. We have we're working with the Forest Service pretty heavily on that. And next year we'll be out there laying gravel down and trying to. There's a lot of muddy parts through there, so we'll be working pretty heavily to make that an accessible trail. Because the Forest Service did a beautiful job with the cabin. They redid it all, and it's gorgeous. So we want to make the trail equally gorgeous.
And how long of a trail is it?
You know, I don't know. I think it's about 4 or 5 miles.
Mm-hmm. And that is going to be benefited by the Trail Mix Auction and Dinner happening Saturday starting at 6 o'clock at Centennial Hall. And this is your time to write grants.
Yeah. Well, I just I was up till I was running to the post office at 5:30 last night to throw 3 grants in the mail to be sent off. So crossing my fingers.
If you'd like to support Trail Mix, and you should, you go to their auction and dinner this Saturday at Centennial Hall. How can people get tickets?
Mm-hmm. You can get tickets online through the Jack's website, through our website. You can get them in person at either location of Hearthside Books.
All right, Eric Boris, anything you'd like to add that I might have forgotten to ask?
No, but thank you guys. Thank K2 for donating, underwriting. You donated to our auction, which will be auctioned off. So thank you very much.
The only low lady, the only low lady. When I was just a greenhorn buckaroo of 22, life's rodeo had thrown me. I was hung up and confused. My life just sort of grinded to a stop. So I went down to the barn to see my pop. He pushed his dusty cowboy hat back on his gray head. Said, son, I ain't learned much from this old cowboy life I led. Of course, there are some trail tips you might recall. To get you through this vexing veil of tears without a fall. Always drink upstream from the herd. Never look straight up at a bird. Man, when you get bucked off, get back on. And son, don't squat with your spurs on. The oldie low lady, the oldie low lady. Well, you know how kid is. He don't take no one's advice. I had to drink downstream myself before I saw the light. True wisdom takes some time to understand. And it was only this morning at the crack of dawn when I pulled my breeches and my boots on and I strapped on my brand new silver shiny spurs with a hand engraved portrait of John Wayne and the 2 1/4 inch razor point rowel. And I stumbled over to the campfire for my morning coffee and squatted down to watch the sun come up and I suddenly realized I could still learn something from my dear departed dad. Always drink upstream from the herd. Never look straight up at a bird. When you get bucked off, get back on. And don't squat with your spurs on. Hey, take their spurs off first. The oldie low lady, the oldie low lady. Hey, partner, please pass the salve.
Today's program is made possible in part by Silver Bow Bakery, serving hot paninis in 5 varieties, including a breakfast egg Florentine. Silver Bow Bakery, located downtown on 2nd Street.
Time is 3:39, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest, Arena Simpson, Paula Sumdum from St. Vincent de Paul, here to talk about the Thanksgiving Day Basket Program and how you can help. Thank you for coming down to the station, everybody.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having us back, and happy Thanksgiving to all of Juneau.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of Juneau.
And we just want to thank everybody for their contributions last year. We are in desperate need of contributions again this year, and I'll let Rena take it from there.
We are just here again, and we can't thank Juno enough for allowing us to serve this community and allowing us to gather the food and the donations that so graciously come in from people like David McDonald and McDowell and Melba and Southeast Alaska Furniture and Myra Munson and so many others that just give. And so we're here. We have about 240 turkeys, and our list is about 430 strong. And we are in need of corn and string beans and cranberry sauce and gravy mix. We hardly have any canned goods. We need instant potatoes and or potatoes. We will take eggs and canned milk. We need pies this year, or the fixings for pies. We would prefer pies. I understand that Costco has the best pies if you're going to donate some for $5.99, and Walmart has some for $2.39, and we want to put soda in the basket this year because last year we had a lot of people say, do you have anything for us to drink? You can bring juice if you like, but Walmart has a great price for their soda for 79 cents. Hey, Super Bear is offering 2-liter Coke for $1.15 with the price smashers. We're looking for gravy. I said the cranberry sauce. We're looking for rolls. Stuffing, rolls. We need lots
butter.
Butter. You know, we just would like to make that table beautiful for the families that come. We have some stories last year that were quite interesting. We always have fun at doing this. We have wonderful people that come in and help us, like the Saga, who helped us gather up all the bags, and our own families that come in and put together these baskets. Sometimes we've had the Riverbend School, and we've had elderly people come.
Juno Youth Services.
Juno Youth Services.
Transitional Living Kids.
Yeah.
They come and help make the bags and unload the groceries and then load them into people's cars.
The Eagles this year just went all out and matched donations, and we're tickled about that. We just had advance payday donate some money. Look at that, okay, for these turkey baskets. And so we're looking this year to see Juno come on out and donate. You can drop some at St. Vincent de Paul Smith Hall, whatever you have. We love it when we see little children get out and they drag in this turkey that's half their size, okay, into the building, and they joyfully are giving. And we would appreciate that. So St. Vincent de Paul, that's on Till Street, the address is
8617.
We're looking forward to those that cannot make it in, if they would like to donate online to St. Vincent de Paul for the community. They can donate with svdpjuno.org. You have to spell out the word Juno, and I'll give it to you again. svdpjuno.org. You can mail in your checks if you would like, again, to 8617 Till Street. You can bring in food. We just would love it. You can even bring cards. We had a wonderful lady that when she made up baskets, she had little cards wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. You know, and our need right now is for a few more turkeys and all the canned goods you can give us. Canned milk.
Well, and I just want to remind people, if you haven't signed up yet and you are in need, please don't hesitate to call and to sign up. Well, you actually need to come in to 8617 Teal, excuse me, and sign up. There's still time.
And the number at St. Vincent is 789-5535. You can call and speak to wonderful Martha. She is so gracious. We try not to turn away anybody. There are some times that, depending on the donations, all the baskets aren't the same, but for sure, we know that there's a turkey in the basket, and depending on what the canned goods are. So we're trying to make it a wonderful Thanksgiving for everybody. So here's the menu one more time. Turkey, gravy,
cranberry sauce, corn, string beans, olives,
fruit, stuffing, mashed potatoes,
rolls, and fruit cocktail.
Jell-O fruit cocktail. And pumpkin pie.
Now, we have, in the last 2 years, we have had a few people that have made it wonderful for us. I want to talk about a man in particular that his brother had just died. He came to pick up a basket for his aunt, and he needed something to do because he just thought about the loss of his brother, and he made it wonderful for us. He was able to deliver to all the families that were shut in. This year we're going to open it up for that, too, for the shut-ins that cannot make it out but have need of baskets. Keith and Louise are going to run it around. They've got that part of it. But if you can make it, please make it. You may call again, 789-5535. Prearrange that. We would love that.
Rena, could you describe the program in general, please?
The program in general is for those that are in need, those that would not have a Thanksgiving dinner because they are paying their bills and taking care of their children or just lost someone or just down and out. And we would like to make sure that you can join in celebrating God giving us a beautiful country. And so Thanksgiving Day is the day that we give thanks for everything that's happened in the year. We take time out to reflect with our families and loved ones. And so we would like for everybody to participate in that, in the privacy of their own homes, with their families. And so we know that not everybody can afford that and can do that. We have people that have eaten rice for 3 days in a row. We've had other people that have had no food that manage to make it, and it just goes out like that.
Paula, well, last time you were here, you told me a story that just brought me to tears. Imagine you have lots and lots of stories like that.
Yes, we do. Last year we also had where people were burnt out, and not only did we do the Thanksgiving dinner, the community reached out and brought beds and tables and chairs and provided
blankets,
clothing. Just
they remember went the all lady off. That had just gone shopping mm-hmm. for her own children and had new coats in her car, mm-hmm. and when she heard her children and she came down and donated what they had just brought brand new to this family.
We have families that their husbands or wives walk out at the last minute, and they're trying to get on with heating and oil, and St. Vincent just reaches out like that. You know, they are just wonderful. So we knew of it, and we were able to help like that. But our focus is not all that. Our focus is to make that day special for you, you know, Thanksgiving. And we give thanks for the people that live here in Juneau.
Oh, absolutely.
That make up this community and care about others. And we have, in our opinion, the most fabulous community year after year. Juneau is the place to live.
It really is. When we look around the country and we know things are bad everywhere, but the people in Juneau have been able to stretch their hearts a little more because there are more and more people. I mean, the first year we ever did this, there were 25 baskets, mm-hmm. and now we're talking over 500 this year.
And we don't turn away. It's been a blessing because when people come, they're already down. You don't have people that are just coming because they hear they can get something for free. Usually people that come are people that are in need. You might get one or two people that, you know, work the program, a few people like that. But for the most part, that's not the case.
And if people would like donate?
Mm-hmm.
If people would like to donate, how can they do so?
They can call St. Vincent de Paul at 789-5535 or go to 8617 Teal Street. And we will be at the Riverbend Community Center on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday. And so they can stop by and give us if they have a donation. Or if they just have a couple cans of food that they want to donate, they certainly can do that. And sometimes there's people just come by and say, we don't have anything to donate, but I'd like to give an hour. And we would welcome them with open arms.
So the picking up of the baskets are on Saturday from 12 to 4, Sunday from 12 to 4, and on Monday, 12 to 5, on Monday. And on, did I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. on Monday.
And we will call to remind you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you
12 to 5, excuse me, on all 3 days.
And if you end up with a flat tire or you're suddenly sick and need help to have the basket delivered, we will go out and do that also because we really want everybody to have a happy holiday.
All right, Paula Sumdum and Rena Sims, thank you so much for what you're doing, and also thank you for going down to the station today.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for having us back. Thank you.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 16th of November, 2011. It's the birthday of the fiction author Andrea Barrett, born Boston, 1954. Andrea Barrett, who said, "I've never known a writer who didn't feel ill at ease in the world. We all feel unhoused in some sense. That's part of why we write. We feel we don't fit in, that this world is not our world, that though we may move in it, we're not of it. You don't need to write a novel if you feel at home in the world." It was on this day, 1973, NASA launched the fourth and final Skylab mission. There were four different missions with three different crews. The first mission was simply to launch the station in 1973. The first crew spent 28 days aboard Skylab, the second 59 days, and the third and final crew 89 days. Skylab was a solar observatory. It was a microgravity lab, a medical lab, and an Earth-observing facility. NASA had planned for Skylab to continue orbiting for up to 10 more years, but high solar activity heated the Earth's atmosphere, created excessive drag on the space station, and Skylab malfunctioned and then fell back to Earth in 1979, pieces of it near Perth in southwestern Australia. It's the birthday of George S. Kaufman, born 1889 in Pittsburgh, playwright, director, started out as the drama critic for the New York Times, 1917 to 1930, and then began collaborating with some of the best writers of the day, Mark Connelly and Ira Gershwin, Moss Hart, Edna Ferber. He co-wrote most of his hits, including Dinner at Eight, You Can't Take It With You, and The Man Who Came to Dinner. And for the Marx Brothers, he wrote Animal Crackers and A Night at the Opera. And it's the birthday of the author Chinua Achebe, born 1930 in Nigeria. Went to work for the Nigerian Broadcasting Service, 1954, and around the same time he wrote his first novel, Things Fall Apart, the most widely read book of African literature. Achebe describes himself as a cultural nationalist, but nevertheless writes in English. He said that colonialism, for all of its evils, at least gives diverse communities a language with which to talk to one another. And so he writes in English so he can reach people all across Nigeria, as well as the colonizers themselves. He wrote, "The white man is very clever. He came quietly and peaceably with his religion. We were amused at his foolishness and allowed him to stay. Now he has won our brothers, and our clan can no longer act like one." Here's a poem for today by Leslie Harrison, "The Day Beauty Divorced Meaning." Their friends looked shocked, said, "Not possible," said, "How sad." The trees carried on with their tree-ish lives, stately, except when they shed their silly dandruff of birds. And the ocean did what oceans mostly do, suspended almost everything, dropped one small ship or two. The day beauty divorced meaning. Someone picked a flower, a fight, a flight. Someone got on a boat, a closet, lost its suitcases. Someone was snowed in, someone else on. The sun went down, and all it was night. A poem by Leslie Harrison, "The Day Beauty Divorced Meaning," from Displacement Poems, published by Mariner Books, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, where your mobile device can turn into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. You can find it online at poetryfoundation.org. And by Constant Contact, helping small businesses use email marketing with social media to reach more customers in more places, online at constantcontact.com. Edited by Noah Smith, written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
Tonight on 360 North, back by viewer request at 8 o'clock, it's Alone Across Alaska, 1,000 Miles of Wilderness. Join Fairbanks and Buck Nelson as he walks his way across the last frontier. That's followed at 9 by Denali Flyers. Take to the sky with the pilots who land on Alaska's Great Peak. It's a great way to look at Alaska tonight on 360 North. Learn more at 360north.org or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
The City and Borough is hosting a Household Hazardous Waste Cleanup Day Sunday, November 20th from 9 to 4:30. Items like old paint, varnish, pesticides, poisons, cleaners, and fluorescent bulbs are accepted. All batteries must have their terminals taped and individually placed in baggies, including household batteries. The Hazardous Waste Collection Facility is on Commercial Boulevard near Costco and is open to all Juneau households. For more information, call 780-6009. Thanks for participating in cleaning up Juneau's environment.
And you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Occupy area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Switzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. We're also online at www.ktoo.org. Tomorrow at 3 on Juneau Afternoon, we'll talk with Camille Stevens and John Sievertson about pet photos with Santa. Mary Lovis Check will discuss winter needs at the Glory Hole. Ellen Pavitt from Pavitt Health and Fitness will talk about their series of health seminars. And we'll also get a preview of Friday's Rave for Tots at DIPAC with guest Clint Farr. And we'll find out about a variety of other activities this weekend during Arts Up. Let's see, tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau Afternoon. The forecast for tonight, it looks like there's a strong wind expected from this evening through Thursday morning. Mostly cloudy skies expected tonight with windy weather. Chance of snow in the evening, possibly mixed with rain across southern Admiralty Island, diminishing later on. Forecast for Thursday, decrease in clouds and windy weather. Forecast for Thursday night, mostly clear skies. And Friday looks like mostly cloudy skies with high temperatures around 22 degrees. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning up to Juno Afternoon today. Have a great evening.